Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Tender Comrade, a 1943 film directed by Edward Dmytryk, and Crossfire, a 1947 film, also directed by Edward Dmytryk. Michelle, this was your pick this week. Mm-hmm. Por qué?
Well, I was listening to the You Must Remember This series about the communists. What is it? The communist, like, lynchings.
The Blacklist?
Yeah, The Blacklist, that's the one. And they talked about these films, and they sounded interesting. Well, we're originally going to do Hitler's Children, which is completely unfindable.
Yeah, I scoured the internet.
A 2011 documentary that is actually about Hitler's children, I think.
Oh, really?
Did he have children?
No, he didn't have any children.
Well, that's what it said it was about.
Maybe it was about his, like, cousins and stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's about, like, the effect on, like, Hitler Youth or something. Maybe it's probably about Hitler
Youth. Oh, it could
have been. That's better than the cousins theory. Makes more sense.
Well, both of these films, Tender Comrade in particular, was cited against...
Comrade.
Was cited against Dalton Trumbo for communist propaganda, which is so funny. It's as if they only just saw the title. And some comrade was in there. It's like, no, that's enough. Like, this guy has, like, communist sympathies because...
Yeah, but there's a bit, like, when it's, like, we share... Something like, share for one, something like that.
Yeah, like, it went on for 1 minute. Like, just one where he flirts
like,
with the idea.
They're all, they're living in a commune, mm-hmm. essentially. They're just four married women who are living without their husbands.
It used to be a lot easier to just moralize to the audience, eh? To have a character just, like, stop the movie short and, like, explain, like, the problems of society directly to the audience. Both of these films have this moment. And it all comes towards the end, which is funny.
So, Ginger Rogers' mom was, like, really critical about this film just because of, like, how left-leaning it sort of was. Which you don't know if she was saying this sort of, like, retroactively... looking back, but apparently she told her daughter to not say, like, some of the stuff in the film because it didn't look good. But she could have been, it's hard to tell how much she was saying that, like, to try and make it, like, distance herself from communist stuff, like, later on. Mm-hmm. Because Ginger Rogers is the person who's got the line where it's like, share it all, share it, whatever.
Yeah.
So she still says it.
Hmm.
No, I agree. I think maybe it's a strategy to be like, you know what? No, that was just a job I did, and I don't like it.
Well, the other film, Crossfire, is also, well, I think, a very socially conscious film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about communism. It's more about anti-Semitism, or about funny names.
I like this a lot better. It feels a lot more like a movie. There's a plot, a beginning, middle, and end. And for one, I feel like he really involved as a director. The first thing I noticed about Crossfire is like it was shot a lot more like purposefully in terms of the staging and blocking. It's a proper noir for one. Like, so
so maybe that's.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
it
the
does
genre
that whole
vocabulary is
noir
there.
Noir thing
still.
Where he's like, and then I went to the bar, and then they cut to that, and it's him going to the bar. Love that. That's my favorite type of, trick, or they just, they narrate over the events as it's happening.
And then you realize how sometimes the narration isn't reliable, right? Because the first version you hear is from the killer's perspective, is, like, the killer trying to, like, slay the cop.
Yeah, and even in his version, he was really unlikable.
He bullied that the Southern kid, that kid from Louisiana, right? Like, that was, I was like, wow, this guy just would not shut up and will not stop hitting him, like, verbally, I mean, but still.
I love how they were spoon-feeding him why he should be anti-racism at the end, when they were like, you shouldn't, he might, you know, hate other people. Like, say, from your state, he hasn't been there, right?
<He's> like, he tells the entire story to loop around to that. But I think
makes
it is
sense.
Effective, right, for the audience at the time. And I think he does make a good point about, like, how ignorance is, like, the root of it all. Not understanding and not wanting to understand, and that fear, like, transforms into hate.
Yeah.
Like, he has a point, and I think it still rings very true today. That can still apply.
No, I'm not saying...
Yeah.
doesn't have a point.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying it was kind of hilarious how like hesitant the guy was.
It's like, oh, you're gonna get me in trouble.
Any trouble? He just sounded like one of those Simpsons pimply mm-hmm. kids.
And the accent, he doesn't even sound that southern, which is the funniest part. Like, oh, it's all right.
So they just like kind of just got in a fight and then he killed him. Like it wasn't.
They
like,
don't show him killing
like,
him.
Oh, there's a Jewish guy, so I'm gonna go and kill him. He was just like, you know, there, and then the guy, you know, just he got like angry and killed him.
I do like how he hides the actor. I think all the performances were really good in Crossfire, but the villain especially, I like how he hides it all under this like smooth talk, right? He comes across as like, he tries to come across as very charismatic. He's like, oh, he's on the people's side. It's like, oh, we can possibly suspect him. But then that rage just boils up and it like comes in like flashes of anger. And you kind of see like, oh, he just lost control and like and murdered him because his hatred got the better of him. Well, that was very effectively played and portrayed.
The term Jew boy is hilarious. It's just, you couldn't come up with anything like a little more menacing.
Are these films like, I mean, Tender Comrade is very obviously a propaganda film. It's interesting to see a noir take on such a heavy moral stance. Considering how like one of the genre staples is that the morality is murky and it's all submerged in gray, but not this time.
Well, this was 1947.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was pre the genre moving into like, well, what is right? You know, like I don't know, like when is
apparently the U.S. Army Navy will not exhibit this film at all. And the U.S. Army showed this film only at its U.S. bases. I don't think it comes across as a very negative portrayal of the U.S. military. I mean, they do, like...
But they're kind of, like, off. That's what happens on their off time.
Oh, yeah. On their shore leave.
Yeah.
And plus, like, image is, like, really big to Americans, isn't it?
Yeah.
For no real reason.
Well, this is a very good reason. It's the U.S. Army. To them, they had to keep up with appearances. Oh, interestingly enough, the book this was based on wasn't about anti-Semitism, it was about homophobia. But I guess they couldn't... due to the Hays Code, they can't go for that.
How was it about... Like, the guy was picking him up and then he killed
him? I suppose, yeah. Okay. And he probably made a pass at him and that's why he murdered him? Maybe? Mm. Or he just hates him. It was just like... But they just switched it up, just another camp, which I kind of fits into the idea like, oh no, this hatred comes like, it can be directed at anything, right? Like that's the point he was trying to make. Like at one point you're going to be hitting a man just because he has like a checkered ties or like spotted ties. It can always be reappropriated and redirected.
That's true. What? Lauren Bacall died in 2014.
Did she?
Yeah. I thought she would have died like in the 80s or something.
No, some of them keep going.
Yeah.
What was that film we watched where they showed like footage of the Holocaust for the first time in like an American film?
Oh, yeah. Let's see if we can find it first.
Was it The Stranger?
It's The Stranger.
1946, yeah. The Stranger.
It's The Stranger.
Yeah. Orson Welles. I found it.
So this is after that.
Oh yeah, it was 1947.
Stranger was 1946, so it's... Oh yeah, this is after.
Well, this doesn't... But funny thing is, like, despite this being like 1947,
they don't
tie the anti-Semitism to the war.
They address it in... Yeah, they address it in the movie where he's like, we were all focused on this one peanut, and then, you know, we ate the peanut, and then it was like, now what? Now all the rage and anger is, like, still there, and they finished the war,
mm-hmm.
but it's still there, so the hatred has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Tender Comrade was trying to say?
Tender Comrade is more about sort of, I guess, the economic side of things.
Yeah, it's more like, it's like coming together to help each other during a hard time, which like post-Second World War is it comes across mildly communist, just in, because America's just like, if you help your neighbor, you're dead.
But also about the sacrifices we have to make in order to ensure, like, we have a better tomorrow, right? Because that whole speech she gives at the end...
Which went on for too long.
I mean, yeah, it's... it did go on for so long. There's one part where she goes, like, well, he didn't really leave you any money, but what he did leave you is this opportunity that we never had for potentially a better world. And he died for that, and don't you forget that he died for that. And I think it's like, well, it's like, this is so patriotic. How could this possibly be?
Well,
like,
I'm pretty sure this was commissioned as a propaganda film, which when, like, Dalton Trumbo, who wrote it, and then Edward Dimitrik, both were, I think they're both in the Hollywood 10, were under scrutiny for it. They can't really be scrutinized for a film that was commissioned as a propaganda film. So it became an issue, and then they have to look at their other stuff.
It's like, well, you told us to do this. Like, how can you turn it back against us?
Because I think Dimitrik in 1950, he just left the US for England and then made a bunch of films in England in like an unofficial exile.
What happened to Trumbo? Trumbo, did he stay in Hollywood?
Didn't he write a bunch of stuff under pseudonyms?
Bathtub.
Yep.
In a bathtub. That's what I remember from the Bryan Cranston movie. Anything more to add?
I thought there'd be more to say about these films, but they were not as interesting as I expected.
Well, I thought Crossfire was, like, fun to watch just because it does set up a proper mystery, and the performances were a lot more engaging. Well, there is a story. It's not just about these women hanging out in a house and, like, fussing over who's worth as house care. It's like, okay.
And I think it says a lot about America, the fact that these were so difficult to find. Hmm. Like... just because they can just stop production of everything.
For reference, our copy of Tinder Comrade was a television rip from a Spanish television channel.
I think.
So that's how we were able to find it.
We could find Top Gun so easy. Those movies are just everywhere. They're like, yeah, you can watch this. Go ahead. Watch it again.
Still in theaters. We went to the theater recently, and Top Gun Maverick is still playing.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's Do you think it actually boosted like U.S. like military recruitment? I doubt.
Maybe.
Are people still
underestimate the effect? I wanted to be an archaeologist when I saw
Jurassic Park.
Jones
as a kid. I just want to be a dinosaur when I watch Jurassic Park, so I don't think it worked the same way.
Yeah. I wanted to hunt big game. That's what I asked.
All right, shall we take a break?
Yep.
And we're back. Now, step right up. 7 reels, let's rate them up.
I'm gonna go 5 and 2. I liked Crossfire.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was right up my alley, to be honest. That's why.
Me too.
I think I'll go 4 to Crossfire and 3 to Tender Comrade. Just because a women-centered film in the 40s is pretty rare. So.
Yeah.
Women.
When they hired that German housekeeper, I genuinely, like, we thought, like, well, it turns like, oh, she's a spy. And then the movie will get interesting.
That's so funny because I thought the same thing. I was like, German, okay, here we go.
Yeah, like, during the war, like, a spy, I'm a spy. I was saying,
her mind is always like, oh, she's reaching for something. It's a gun. No, it's not. It's just a fork. We're trying to make it exciting at any.
Our minds just desperately want to fill in the gaps.
Just make it an action movie. There's Tom Cruise.
Like, but I do like the domestic scenes between her and her husband. Like that I thought those were cute.
Yeah, but they want you to, so it hurts at the end when he dies.
Oh. Spoilers. I'm gonna have to go with the same rating as you, Yusuf. Crossfire was very fun and also very short. It was like 88 minutes. Like, he kept it short and sweet. Not a single scene's wasted. The way they caught the killer was fun. Even though it's very, like, I think they did that like 5 times in Colombo.
Really? Like, it's in The Departed too. Remember when he's like,
oh yeah, it's in The Departed too. I gave it. Yeah. But inadvertently in The Departed, right? That's the brilliant part is that happened by accident. Like,
yeah.
He didn't write the right one. Oh, such a good movie. Makes me want to rewatch it now. Anyways, that's our ratings, which brings us to what we have watched this week. Yusuf, what have you watched this week?
Well, I watched half of Marilyn. That's what I wanted to discuss with you, Art.
Marilyn. Okay.
Blonde.
Blonde, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I thought you were doing it.
No, I keep saying Marilyn. I told my brother, and he was like, wait, I can't find it. And I was like, no. It's called something else, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about this. It's directed well. It's got some.
It's directed very well.
Big
it's
swings.
Probably the best.
See, I think this could be a really great episode if we just did it on this one.
All right, so we'll save.
Okay.
It's like
conflicting.
There's a lot to say.
All right. That's actually a good point. Yeah, I could talk about something else then instead.
All right. What else?
I watched Irma Vep, the show, and I think it's really fun. And also like interesting, so it's like a light watch, but it's also like it doesn't feel like you're wasting your time. So I highly recommend it. I think that's
Did you get to the part where they do the recreations, like they jump back between like the original production of Irma Vep and they have all the same actors?
Yeah, they do that throughout.
Yeah, it's great.
Right.
It's
with the and
there.
The and
what do you
the
think
part
they were trying
where
to do there?
I don't know. I think it's I actually don't know, but I love that he's watching it on an iPhone most of the times and showing it to people because that I feel like a lot of filmmakers tend to shy away from the fact that we're all doing that. We're just all living our lives like on our phones now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
oh, such a good show.
What have you guys
so
been
funny.
Watching?
Well, we saw two films. We went to the theaters twice. We saw the horror film Smile because I heard it's scary. And I haven't seen a horror film in a crowd for a very long time. And it was fun. Was it?
It was all right.
It was all right. There's some pretty good scares in it.
For a horror film.
Smile.
Mm-hmm. It stars Kevin Bacon's daughter, who was very good. I thought she carried a movie. She was very, very
How many degrees away from Kevin Bacon?
Direct with just 1 degree, consider. It'll be funny if he was. But it's a fun time at the theaters. It's with a big crowd. Everybody was screaming at certain points.
Yeah. The guy next to me had a fantastic time. Kept saying what a great film this was.
It does this thing where it avoids, I think, a lot of things. Traps a lot of modern recent horror films fall in where it becomes more about the theme of like trauma than it's more concerned about doing exploring that than being a legitimate horror film. And
I mean, in terms of mental health, this is horrific.
This is horrific, but still, like it focuses on being a horror movie, which is what I appreciate. It's like there's no big message. It's just it happens to incorporate a kind of mental health and trauma angle into it to tell the story. I think it's a first-time director, and as a first gig, I thought it was pretty good. We also saw Avatar, which was fun. James Cameron. I'm excited for the sequel. I'm very excited for the sequel. I can't wait to see what he does with it.
It worked.
Showed you a clip from it. At the end.
Yeah, they give you a special peek, and it's all about water.
No way.
Some of them can swim. They have little tails.
Yeah, it's cute.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
it's
fun. It's fun to watch. I come around to Sam Worthington. People say he was terrible, but I thought he was the perfect like blank slate for the audience to project themselves onto. So I think
he's gonna be the next big thing. But then he just kind of.
Oh, I think that's past. That's gotta pass. Like he had his chance, but still, like I mean, hey, to star in the highest grossing movie of all time, and potentially like gonna the sequel also do pretty well.
That's Top Gun now.
No, it's not. No, oh. Top Gun's like number 13 or something like that.
Because it got
re-released? Now that Avatar got re-released, they actually pushed it past like 2.3, 2.4 billion now. It's crazy, mm-hmm. like how much money it made. Well, that brings us to our recommendations. Have we given much thought on this?
Mm-hmm.
I have one.
Then go.
Manchevudo, the Charlie Chaplin film, his first venture away from the tramp. It's sort of like a not explicit exploration of like dictators and mass mm-hmm. murder.
It's kind of an adaptation on Bluebeard, right?
It is an adaptation.
Oh, it is an adaptation of Bluebeard, okay.
But it's quite good for his first film away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, Yusuf, do you have something lined up?
Yeah, but the movie I want to recommend is called The Night of the Hunter, but I feel like I've recommended it before. I don't remember. But it stars Robert Mitchum. And pretty good. I think it's a good movie. It was based on a novel by Davis Grubb. But yeah. Yeah, but anyways, it's a really good movie.
I'm still desperately trying to search for a proper recommendation. I've already recommended The Third Man, but I want to recommend it again.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact that it's also a film kind of about the post-war anxiety. But I think this one doesn't hit you over the head with its themes and is a little bit more subtle, but still equal, very, very enjoyable and a fantastic noir. We need to bring noirs back. It's a complete dead genre now, and
mm-hmm.
it's in dire need for a revitalization because I think
you can
update it and like
yeah,
do something new with it, but people don't like. It's just straight thrillers now, and none of the mystery and the problem solving, which is maybe the modern audience can keep up. We'll find it too boring. Either way, Yusuf, it is your turn to pick next week. What do you have in mind?
Well, since it's October, we're gonna do Daughters of Darkness and Near Dark, right? That's what it's called, Near Dark. Dark is the theme. My favorite kind of chocolate. So, yeah, or vampires. Yeah, that's probably better.
Or how
but,
I take
dark
coffee.
Mm-hmm. Or
okay.
Dark coffee. Dark roast. All right, I get it now. Okay.
So that's why zero dark 30, because there's no vampires, and there isn't 30 of them.
Oh my god, imagine this, right?
The that's true.
They break into Osama's compound. Instead of finding Osama, they run into vampires.
It's
and, like, a genre switches.
Karate.
Oh,
30
man,
vampires.
That movie could have been so much better if they were vampires. That would have
been cool. Yeah. Well,
and then Chris Pratt gets eaten by one. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode this week. Stay tuned and keep it real. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Shout Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.